Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is that time, terrific Tuesday, April 10th, 2012, 9 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Mountain, 6 a.m. Pacific. I want to welcome each of you to the Think and Grow Rich call. It is another wonderful day to be alive. It is an exciting time to be moving forward in a major positive way in our lives and in our businesses. And I'm excited about the call today. I wanted to tell you folks a quick story here before we jump into the content. It was about 8 years ago. 8 years ago, I remember I was at a point in my life where I had just finished growing up and going to college and getting the job in the corporate world like everybody said that I should. And I was at a point, I was newly married. We had our first son who was actually in mommy's tummy at the time, just a brand, you know, brand spanking new. My wife and I had been married for about a year, about a year. And our new son was coming. And I was at a point in my life where I didn't know what I didn't know. And I remember sitting down in the living room of my 1984 single wide Fleetwood Vogue single wide mobile home. And I remember sitting in a chair that we had purchased at Shopko. It was one of those chairs that was made out of fake leather. And I was sitting there, and I had this book cracked open. And the name of this book was Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. It had been recommended to me by it was on a reading list that I ran across. And I remember sitting in that living room at that particular point in my life. And I remember learning a concept, and this concept was rich people, wealthy people, how they accumulate wealth. And they do it through businesses. They do it through assets, whether it's real estate or businesses. They develop systems or they implement systems in their lives that essentially allows them to leverage property or leverage efforts of other people, and it allows them to create these pipelines of cash flow coming into their lives. And I remember it's so strange that sometimes the biggest breakthroughs we have in life come from experiences that are so simple. And I remember this simple experience sitting in that living room reading that concept, and I remember moving from a state where I had been taught all of my life to believe that money came from going to school, getting good grades, and then going to work for a good company and going to work 8 hours a day and sometimes 10 and 12 to impress the boss and get there early and stay late. And that was my concept of where money came from. And at that one particular instant in time when I read those concepts from Robert Kiyosaki, it was almost like somebody flipped a light switch on in my brain. Before it was dark, and now all of a sudden there was this light bathing my brain and my mind and my spirit that allowed me to see further, allowed me to see more than I saw before. And it was at that particular point in my life where I had this experience of enlightenment, where I had this breakthrough, this new idea, this new way of looking at the world. And here I am 8 years later, a full-time entrepreneur in the home business industry, making a great income, living from home, being with my family. And I can attribute much of the things that have happened in my life to that one little simple experience. And folks, why do I share this story with each of you? I share this story because it's those experiences that we want to seek out in our lives. The more experiences that we have on a daily, on a weekly basis, where the light switch gets turned on, where we have some enlightenment, where we understand a new concept, or maybe we are better able to understand a concept that was a little bit confusing to us in the past. It's those experiences that allow us to move forward in our lives. And it's those experiences that really is the entire purpose of this call. This is a call we do every morning, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the whole purpose is so that myself and everyone who jumps on this line can have those enlightening moments, whether it's through the content of the call that we're going through, or maybe it's through a comment that one of our callers will make in the discussion portion of the call. I promise you, if you will tune in, open your ears, open your mind, and pay attention and plug in and be on this call consistently, you, along with myself and every other caller, will have more of those experiences on a more rapid pace And because of those experiences, we'll be able to break through whatever barriers might be standing in front of us in our lives and in our businesses, and we'll be able to achieve our goals on a much faster rate. So I hope you can appreciate that experience, and I hope that it can shed a little bit of light on why we do this call. So that being said, folks want to jump into the content of the call, which I'm really excited about. It's chapter 12 of the book, Think and Grow Rich, The Subconscious Mind, The Connecting Link, The 11th Step Toward Riches. And I do have a feeling we're going to have a lot of light switches turned on today. The subconscious mind consists of a field of consciousness in which every impulse of thought that reaches the objective mind through any of the five senses is classified and recorded, and from which thoughts may be recalled or withdrawn as letters may be taken from a filing cabinet. It receives and files sense impressions or thoughts regardless of their nature. You may voluntarily plant in your subconscious mind any plan, thought, or purpose which you desire to translate into its physical or monetary equivalent. The subconscious acts first on the dominating desires which have been mixed with emotional feelings such as faith. Consider this in connection with the instructions given in the chapter on desire for taking the six steps there outlined, and the instructions given in the chapter on the building and execution of plans, and you will understand the importance of the thought conveyed. The subconscious mind works day and night. Through a method of procedure unknown to man, the subconscious mind draws upon the forces of infinite intelligence for the power with which it voluntarily transmutes one's desires into their physical equivalent, making use always of the most practical media by which this end may be accomplished. You cannot entirely control your subconscious mind, but you can voluntarily hand over to it any plan, desire, or purpose which you wish transformed into concrete form. Read again instructions for using the subconscious mind in the chapter on autosuggestion. There is plenty of evidence to support the belief that the subconscious mind is the connecting link between the finite mind of man and infinite intelligence. It is the intermediary through which one may draw upon the forces of infinite intelligence at will. It alone contains the secret process by which mental impulses are modified and changed into their spiritual equivalent. It alone is the medium through which prayer may be transmitted to the source capable of answering prayer. The possibilities of creative effort connected with the subconscious mind are stupendous and imponderable. They inspire one with awe. I never approach the discussion of the subconscious mind without a feeling of littleness and inferiority due, perhaps, to the fact that man's entire stock of knowledge on this subject is so pitifully limited. The very fact that the subconscious mind is the medium of communication between the thinking mind of man and infinite intelligence is of itself a thought which almost paralyzes one's reason. After you have accepted as a reality the existence of the subconscious mind and understand its possibilities as a medium for transmuting your desires into their physical or monetary equivalent, you will comprehend the full significance of the instructions given in the chapter on desire. You will also understand why you have been repeatedly admonished to make your desires clear and to reduce them to writing. You will also understand the necessity of persistence in carrying out instructions. The 13 principles are the stimuli with which you acquire the ability to reach and to influence your subconscious mind. Do not become discouraged if you cannot do this upon the first attempt. Remember that the subconscious mind may be voluntarily directed only through habit, under the directions given in the chapter on faith. You have not yet had time to master faith. Be patient. Be persistent. As a good many statements in the chapters on faith and autosuggestion will be repeated here for the benefit of your subconscious mind. Remember, your subconscious mind functions voluntarily, whether you make any effort to influence it or not. This naturally suggests to you that thoughts of fear and poverty and all negative thoughts serve as stimuli to your subconscious mind. Unless you master these impulses and give it more desirable food upon which it may feed. The subconscious mind will not remain idle. If you fail to plant desires in your subconscious mind, it will feed upon the thoughts which reach it as the result of your neglect. We have already explained that thought impulses, both negative and positive, are reaching the subconscious mind continuously. For the present, it is sufficient if you remember that you are living daily in the midst of all manner of thought impulses which are reaching your subconscious mind without your knowledge. Some of these impulses are negative, some are positive. You are now engaged in trying to help shut the flow of negative impulses and to aid in voluntarily influencing your subconscious mind through positive impulses of desire. When you achieve this, you will possess the key which unlocks the door to your subconscious mind. Moreover, you will control that door so completely that no undesirable thought may influence your subconscious mind. Everything which man creates begins in the form of a thought impulse. Man can create nothing which he does not first conceive in thought. Through the aid of imagination, thought impulses may be assembled into plans. The imagination, when under control, may be used for the creation of plans or purposes that lead to success in one's chosen occupation. All thought impulses intended for transmutation into their physical equivalent, voluntarily planted in the subconscious mind, must pass through the imagination and be mixed with faith. The mixing of faith with a plan or purpose intended for submission to the subconscious mind may be done only through the imagination. From these statements, you will readily observe that voluntary use of the subconscious mind calls for coordination and application of all the principles. Ella Wheeler Wilcox gave evidence of her understanding of the power of the subconscious mind when she wrote, "You can never tell what a thought will do in bringing you hate or love, for thoughts are things, and their airy wings are swifter than carrier doves. They follow the law of the universe, each thing creates its kind, and they speed o'er the track to bring you back whatever went out from your mind." Mrs. Wilcox understood the truth that thoughts which go out from one's mind also embed themselves deeply into one's subconscious mind, where they serve as a magnet, pattern, or blueprint by which the subconscious mind is influenced while translating them into their physical equivalent. Thoughts are truly things for the reason that every material thing begins in the form of thought energy. The subconscious mind is more susceptible to influence by impulses of thought mixed with feeling or emotion than by those originating solely in the reasoning portion of the mind. In fact, there is much evidence to support the theory that only emotionalized thoughts have any action influence upon the subconscious mind. It is a well-known fact that emotion or feeling rules the majority of people. If it is true that the subconscious mind responds more quickly to and is influenced more readily by thought impulses which are well mixed with emotion, it is essential to become familiar with the more important of the emotions. There are 7 major positive emotions and 7 major negative emotions. The negative voluntarily inject themselves into thought impulses, which ensure passage into the subconscious mind. The positives must be injected through the principle of autosuggestion into the thought impulses which an individual wishes to pass on to his subconscious mind. Instructions have been given in the chapter on autosuggestion. These emotions or feeling impulses may be likened to yeast in a loaf of bread because they constitute the action element which transforms thought impulses from the passive to the active state. Thus may one understand why thought impulses which have been well mixed with emotion are acted upon more readily than thought impulses originating in cold reason. You are preparing to influence and control the inner audience of your subconscious mind in order to hand over to it the desire for money, which you wish transmuted into its monetary equivalent. It is essential, therefore, that you understand the method of approach to this inner audience. You must speak its language, or it will not heed your call. It understands best the language of emotion or feeling. Let us therefore describe here the seven major positive emotions and the seven major negative emotions. Apologize, lost my place there. So that you may draw upon the positives and avoid the negatives when giving instructions to your subconscious mind. The seven major positive emotions: the emotion of desire, the emotion of faith, the emotion of love, the emotion of sex, the emotion of enthusiasm, the emotion of romance, the emotion of hope. There are other positive emotions, but these are the seven most powerful and the ones most commonly used in the creative effort. Master these seven emotions. They can be mastered only by use, and the other positive emotions will be at your command when you need them. Remember in this connection that you are studying a book which is intended to help you develop a money consciousness by filling your mind with positive emotions. One does not become money conscious by filling one's mind with negative emotions. And here are the seven major negative emotions to be avoided: the emotion of fear, the emotion of jealousy, the emotion of hatred, the emotion of revenge, the emotion of greed, the emotion of superstition, the emotion of anger. Positive and negative emotions cannot occupy the mind at the same time. One or the other must dominate. It is your responsibility to make sure that positive emotions constitute the dominating influence of your mind. Here the law of habit will come to your aid. Form the habit of applying and using the positive emotions. Eventually, they will dominate your mind so completely that the negatives cannot enter it. Only by following these instructions literally and continuously can you gain control over your subconscious mind. The presence of a single negative in your conscious mind is sufficient to destroy all chances of constructive aid from your subconscious mind. If you are an observing person, you must have noticed that most people resort to prayer only after everything else has failed, or else they pray by a ritual of meaningless words. And because it is a fact that most people who pray do so only after everything else has failed, they go to prayer with their minds filled with fear and doubt, which are the emotions the subconscious mind acts upon and passes on to infinite intelligence. Likewise, that is the emotion which infinite intelligence receives and acts upon. If you pray for a thing, but have fear as you pray that you may not receive it, or that your prayer will not be acted upon by infinite intelligence, your prayer will have been in vain. Prayer does sometimes result in the realization of that for which one prays. If you have ever had the experience of receiving that for which you prayed, go back in your memory and recall your actual state of mind while you were praying, and you will know for sure that the theory here described is more than a theory. The time will come when the schools and educational institutions of the country will teach the science of prayer. Moreover, then prayer may be and will be reduced to a science. When that time comes, it will come as soon as mankind is ready for it and demands it. No one will approach the universal mind in a state of fear, for the very good reason that there will be no such emotion as fear. Ignorance, superstition, and false teaching will have disappeared, and man will have attained his true status as a child of infinite intelligence. A few have already attained this blessing. If you believe this prophecy is far-fetched, take a look at the human race in retrospect. Less than 100 years ago, men believed the lightning to be the evidence of the wrath of God and feared it. Now, thanks to the power of faith, men have harnessed the lightning and made it turn the wheels of industry. Much less than 100 years ago, men believed the space between the planets to be nothing but a great void, a stretch of dead nothingness. Now, thanks to the same power of faith, men know that far from being either dead or a void, the space between the planets is very much alive, that it is the highest form of vibration known, excepting perhaps the vibration of thought. Moreover, men know that this living, pulsating, vibratory energy, which permeates every atom of matter and fills every niche of space, connects every human brain with every other human brain. What reason have men to believe that this same energy does not connect every human brain with infinite intelligence? There are no toll gates between the finite mind of man and infinite intelligence. The communication costs nothing except patience, faith, persistence, understanding, and a sincere desire to communicate. Moreover, the approach can be made only by the individual himself. Paid prayers are worthless. Infinite intelligence does no business by proxy. You either go direct or you do not communicate. You may buy prayer books and repeat them until the day of your doom without avail. Thoughts which you wish to communicate to infinite intelligence must undergo transformation, such as can be given only through your own subconscious mind. The method by which you may communicate with infinite intelligence is very similar to that through which the vibration of sound is communicated by radio. If you understand the working principle of radio, you of course know that sound cannot be communicated through the ether until it has been stepped up or changed into a rate of vibration which the human ear cannot detect. The radio sending station picks up the sound of the human voice and scrambles or modifies it by stepping up the vibration millions of times. Only in this way can the vibration of sound be communicated through the ether. After this transformation has taken place, the ether picks up the energy, which originally was in the form of vibrations of sound, carries that energy to radio receiving stations, and these receiving sets step that energy back down to its original rate of vibration so it is recognized as sound. The subconscious mind is the intermediary which translates one's prayers into terms which infinite intelligence can recognize, presents the message, and brings back the answer in the form of a definite plan or idea for procuring the object of the prayer. Understand this principle, and you will know why mere words read from a prayer book cannot and will never serve as an agency of communication between the mind of man and infinite intelligence. Before your prayer will reach infinite intelligence, a statement of the author's theory only, it probably is transformed from its original thought vibration into terms of spiritual vibration. Faith is the only known agency which will give your thoughts a spiritual nature. Faith and fear make poor bedfellows. Where one is found, the other cannot exist. Quite a lot in that chapter, my friends. Wow, a lot to digest, a lot of deep stuff there, but a lot of very profound and true statements, I believe. And I'm excited to hear your comments and discussion, experiences, questions, all in the form of this discussion here. So I'm going to open up the lines right now. Star 6 to unmute your line, please. I'd love to hear from you.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, go ahead, Melvin. Melvin and then Bill.
I have I just want to say that there's I don't think there's going to be a point or a time that you're going to talk about anything that is more profound or heavier than what the subject matter is now. And I just want to make a couple of comments about it. One is that this is not taught in your school. This is not taught in your church. This is not taught by your parents. So everybody has to take it upon themselves to start studying and understanding this. This is the most powerful thing there is, and this is a science. This is not a religion. And no matter what your beliefs are, this science will not change. It's going to apply no matter what country you are, color, skin, or sex, or anything else you might be. So to the degree that we take it upon ourselves to learn this and rid ourselves of our ignorance, which so many of us have with our so-called beliefs and our religion, and I want to touch upon that because I just have to shake my head sometimes at some of these people that come at you with their religion and their Bibles and their prayer and not understanding all of what you just touched upon. And so it's not what you know that hurts you. It's what you know that's not so that's hurting you. And so until we get the right understanding of this and have something like what you said originally when you started, having some aha moments to where it really hit home and to where you now have it. And not only do you have it in the sense that you think you have it, but you know you have it. You're experiencing it. You're feeling it. There's no doubt any longer. It's very profound. I mean, I could stay on this one all day long. But back to you, Paul.
Appreciate those thoughts and comments, Melvin. As always, you've been living a lot of these principles for many years, and your insight is always very well put and appreciated. Thank you. Bill Winch, good morning, sir.
Good morning. I just want to ask for a clarification or an answer. I'm a little confused on between the negative and the positive emotions, the fear and so forth. Does our subconscious automatically have the negative emotions, or do we put them in there initially? So because it says you have to put in the positive ones. So is negative there automatically, or how do they get in there initially?
I'm not an expert, so I can only venture a guess, and that guess is an analogy that I've heard before that I believe is very applicable, which is the analogy of or the thought of a garden. If you're going to grow a garden and you don't tend the weeds, what happens naturally or in nature is that the weeds automatically will grow. You actually have to make a conscious effort to go out there and till that garden and pull the weeds and you know, make that a fertile growing spot for the things that you do want to grow. And there's so much negativity in the world. I would venture the theory that, yeah, the negative will automatically be there unless we take a conscious effort to get rid of it. But that's just my theory. Any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, Paul, if I may.
Yeah.
You do have to police, and I told you the thing about the robot where you have to use a sifter, and all of this stuff is in the universe, and it's all out here. And it's all going to be coming your way. And if you don't do the sifting on what you let what you receive and what you reject, that's a responsibility that we have. And not to do nothing is not to be responsible, because it's kind of like not making a decision. Well, not to make a decision is still making a decision. Not to be responsible, all of this still can come upon you because you have not become aware of what you have to work with and are using it to your ability to benefit you. It's going to take place either way, knowingly or unknowingly. This is happening. And so to the degree that we know about it, we can police it, we can watch it, we can take care of it, we can make the decision what we want to let in, what we want to keep out. But through ignorance, not knowing, it's going to happen to you anyway. And so there's no getting around it. Back to you, Paul.
Any other thoughts and comments there on Bill's question?
Yeah, you know, Paul, I think you what you kind of hit the nail on the head, and much like the positive that you talked about, negative is automatic. Just like the weeds that you mentioned, just like gratitude and ingratitude, for example, gratitude is something you have to develop. You have to be taught and cultivate. You know, if you're out there looking for somebody to say thank you or be grateful for something, you're setting up yourself for headaches, because gratitude, it has to be taught. Like, you have to teach your kids to say thank you, for example. But the other way, not saying thanks, is automatic, you see. And so those things are learned behavior. And, it's a constant battle. That's why most people don't want to do these things, because you can never stop developing yourself in a positive way. For example, when these calls stop, for example, it goes from Monday through Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, if you're not on these talks or you're not continuing to develop yourself, you're setting up yourself for failure. You're losing momentum. You're immediately losing momentum, actually, once you get off the call, actually. So you have to constantly be working with your mind. You know, there's something that you actually want to etch in stone. I heard somebody said this one time, and the guy named was Jerry Clark, and he said one of his a psychologist said to him about this. He says, a personal breakthrough occurs when there's an alteration in belief. That's something you need to have in front of you every day, because a lot of things we do is so automatic, we're not aware of what's happening. You know, for example, when you're growing up, your parents don't want you to hang around certain people or certain groups because they don't know exactly why, but they know. You instinctively know that, okay, that you don't want to. But when you can do this stuff on a deliberate way, knowing that if you're going left and it's not looking right, then turn right, you see? And so when you're actually deliberately making plans and understanding this right here, this chapter, like what you're talking about, is really where law of attraction comes from. That's where it comes from, nothing else. This is everything first start. I talk about this all the time. Everything first comes from your thought, the power of thought. It's first creation. Nothing starts before it first creates in your mind. So you have to believe in the unseen before it becomes to the seen. It's just that important. If you don't believe it, it cannot happen for you. Believe and succeed. Believe and achieve. You see? And like we talked about, Paul, you're around an environment where nobody believes in you. You have to start believing in yourself. You know? And those who run away from people who don't believe in you, run. I mean, just run. It's just that simple. Run away. Right back to you.
Thank you, Rick. Really appreciate those comments. Star 6, who's next?
Paul, this is Lindy. Good morning.
Let's see. I think it was Lindy first, and then the other lady there after Lindy. Go ahead, Lindy.
Yes. Bill's comment made me think about whenever I was an early teenager. You know, I knew nothing about the subconscious mind, just like every other teenager out there. However, I can specifically remember, and I'm 54, so it was a long time ago, that I had a new dress. I was probably about 14. And I wore that dress, and I remember 5 or 6 people complimenting me on my new dress. And then one person said she didn't like it. It made me look fat. And I only remembered that negative, and I never wore that dress again because of one negative comment. So, you know, the power of suggestion out there, I think we do tend to grab onto the negative because we try to avoid the negative, so to speak, even if it's in the minority. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Lindy, thank you so much for sharing that very poignant experience, because I believe it's true. It is so true. Go ahead, Mel.
One of the things that we have to be aware of, we have to learn how to believe and trust ourselves, because oftentimes when people are saying something to us, it's for their benefit, not ours. And the dress could be looking just gorgeous on you because what they're saying is based on their jealousy and their envy, and we bought into that. That's why we have to learn to trust and believe in ourselves and follow our own thoughts. Other than that, you've got someone manipulating you and playing all kind of games with you, and you're buying into it. That's why it's so important to believe in yourself and not to just blindly accept and buy what other people are saying, because there need not be any truth there. There's so much of that out here. There's so much manipulation that takes place. It could be from anywhere and everywhere. It could be in your church. It could be in your home. It could be your mate. We have a responsibility to ourselves first to do that. There's no place where this manipulation can't take place or happen. Back to you, Paul.
Very, very good points, Melvin. And you said a lot there that is so true. We do need to learn to trust in ourselves. And Lindy, I so appreciate that experience because it's something that we all face, all of us, on a daily basis. And it illustrates that we can have all of the great things in the world said about us, but for some strange reason, when one negative thing comes out, we tend to remember that, hone in on that, and allow that to program our subconscious mind. But the beautiful thing is when we become aware of that, when we have that aha moment like I'm having right now because you shared that experience, my realization now is just eliminate that. Don't do it. Completely eliminate that little negative that comes in. And I've been having – it's so interesting that you shared that because I've been having similar experiences – in my life, the last few days, actually, where I have all these wonderful things said about me and to me, but occasionally, because I work with so many people, I'll have these few little negatives that'll come in and just really attack me, and I'll think about those and allow those to penetrate, and it's not healthy. It's not something we should do, and Melvin gave great advice. Learn to trust in ourselves. Learn to trust in the vision that we have of our lives and who we know we are now and who we are becoming, and really just be aware and not let those little negatives penetrate. There was another lady there coming out with Lindy. Who was that?
Hi, Paul. It's Linda.
Hey, Linda. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that along the line of emotion and energy and the bottom line is the way that I feel is that we're either walking or we're either functioning in one whim or the other constantly. And we have to become aware of it. And I think of my own personal life because if I don't start to think of positive things in my life or positive things that I want to do, it's an automatic that the negative will be there. Because the fact is that it's either one or the other constantly. There is no in between. It's either positive or negative. Thanks.
Great points, Linda. Really appreciate you sharing those ideas. And there's, again, a lot of truth to what you said there.
Paul?
Where faith exists, fear cannot exist, and vice versa. Yes.
Yeah, very true. What she said is right on the button, and that's where the responsibility comes in, and that's why as soon as it's coming, you know, I would use an example. I would tell a person to hold their hand out, and I would put a little, let's say, a piece of paper in their hand, and I tell them, now, think about that as a whole, a hot coal. And they would stand there, and they hold it. And I said, it's a hot coal. It's burning a hole in your hand. And then they would drop it. And then I'd say, put your hand out again, and I'd put the paper back. I say, now think of it as a hot coal, and they drop it. And then I keep doing that. I said, think of it as a hot coal, and they keep dropping it. And finally, somebody else would say, don't take it, don't take it. And finally, they stopped taking it. And the same thing's true with these kinds of thoughts. You've got to get rid of them immediately. As soon as they start occurring, it's to be dismissed. It's not even to get in there and to start taking root. And once you start practicing this and get used to this, they don't come any longer. It's kind of like someone knocking at your door and you not opening it. Finally, they're going to say, hey, no sense in me even going there. And finally, the thoughts get to where they don't come any longer. And like she said, it's just positive thoughts that you have all the time. There's no room for the negative thoughts at any time, because there's never a benefit from them. There's nothing to ever gain from it. Even when I talk about a person says, well, I'm kind of worried about this. No, you should never worry about anything. Being concerned is a different thing from worry, but never worry. Concern, give it some consideration, some different ways of how you might deal with it, but never worry. And because worry is just a part of the negativity and the fear and all. So she's perfect in terms of what she said there, and that's where our responsibility comes in. Back to you, Paul.
Appreciate those thoughts, Melvin. And I wanted to throw out one other idea here on the subconscious mind that I don't know that Napoleon covered in this chapter, but that I have studied in other books and I believe to be the case. The subconscious mind acts automatically. In other words, once the subconscious mind is programmed to the way we want it to be programmed, it's an automatic goal-striving mechanism, to use the term that Maxwell Maltz uses in psycho-cybernetics. In other words, it'll bring you success automatically or failure automatically. And so that's just another thing we need to be aware of, and why some of this stuff is so important, because believe it or not, once your subconscious mind is programmed right, success becomes automatically. You do things automatically that you wouldn't do before. Just a real quick example of that. 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, I would have never, ever got on a conference call and spoken to a group of people because I would have been terrified. I would have thought, well, what if I say the wrong thing? What if people laugh at me? What if this? What if that? What if the other? And now, because my subconscious mind is programmed in the right way, folks, I pick up the phone every morning and get on this call, and I never even worry about it. It happens automatically. Every Monday, I do a team call for my team with other leaders. Never even worry about it. It happens automatically. All these things automatically happen because my subconscious mind is now programmed. So it's just one other benefit I wanted to throw out there on this topic that I think we need to be aware of. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul. This is Marlies.
Good morning, Marlies.
Good morning. Oh, gosh, this is, I really believe this is the foundation of everything that is happening to us in our life, understanding the power of thoughts and how we can help make use of those in a positive or negative way, because they do create our reality. And I think learning and knowing about it, I believe, has been also for me, and I'm sure for everyone, the big aha moment. But then, of course, the next step, well, how do I really apply that? And I think that's where it becomes quite challenging. And I really believe, because the state of consciousness worldwide on our planet is basically negative, because the majority of people do live in a lot of suffering, worry, fear, etc. So it's automatic that we as human beings will pick up on that, because we are all connected. Every thought that we think that goes out actually reverberates throughout the universe and around this planet. So to understand the power that each and every one of us has, and the responsibility, therefore, that we do have, and the way that we make use of our time that we awake, and that we can consciously then choose the thoughts that we want to entertain, in our mind, have a tremendous impact, not just on ourselves, but really the rest of humanity in the world. And I wanted to pick up on what really got me excited before I even got up this morning, pick up on something that we discussed yesterday, and also that came up that you mentioned on the team call yesterday. And wow, that really got me so excited, because we know how powerful, obviously, thoughts are, and people who of like mind, then entertaining and working or using this kind of mechanism of thoughts then to create what we want to do, create good in this world, right? How we then can unify and think in terms of, not think, but I was going to throw that out and see what you or anybody else would think about that. If we can take even like a 5-minute time, like a portion of this call, and all of us just concentrate on the feeling of love, the thought and the feeling of love, because obviously the thoughts are useless unless they are vibrating with an emotion. And the most powerful emotion, of course, is love. It's more powerful than anything else in this world. And if we can do that, and at the same time envision also, not just for us personally, but how that can affect and change the whole world and all of humanity, right? And we can incorporate or embrace also the thoughts, the feelings that we have about this wonderful vehicle that we have found, our particular company, and also the product that I feel can just create tremendous good in this world. So if we can do that collectively as we grow with our group, they're just really like, it becomes not just a little point of light, but becomes a blazing fire. It's going to become so, so powerful that others within our company automatically and beyond that, everyone then also will be able to embrace and just create something of such magnitude that we cannot even imagine. And I wanted to point out, just to bring home this point, because that's what I remembered over 15 years ago, because it was a similar experiment, and that's the reason why I bring it up. You know, after hearing you mentioning that, it's the Gandhi effect, right? To and without telephones, without anything else, to have that kind of following of 200 million people really working in unison and for the common goal, right, to create a greater good. And something on a smaller scale, an experiment took place. John Hagelin, actually, he was the candidate for the, the presidential candidate with the, the party of, what is it? Isn't it something? I just totally forgot about that. Universal law, okay? But they had an experiment. He was the a quantum physicist at the university in Iowa, and for science and public policy, etc. So they did have an experiment in Washington, D.C., because the crime was really, it has one of the most crime-ridden places. It was very high always. So they did make use of TM, Transcendental Meditation. They brought in 4,000 people into the capital, also from overseas. And this was all monitored by sociologists, criminologists, police department, government officials, and you name it, over a 2-month period. So as they were, so to speak, meditating, but bringing together these participants in order to create coherence and in order to reduce stress and disease, there was such an incredible, drastic drop in just a violent crime during that time. And obviously, even though they all have found out that this really makes a difference, nothing came off it, so it was not used in any other way. But I was thinking, we have that kind of power. We can really get together and bring this kind of feeling, that vision, these thoughts, and put them out into the universe for ourselves and then within our group and then have it spill over. It's the 100th monkey effect. You know about that too. So we don't have, not all of us need to do that, only a very strong core group. And it's going to just spill over and infect everyone in such a positive way. Oh, gosh, I probably really rambled on again. But I got so excited about that. And thank you, everyone, for your contributions, because I really consider that to be the most powerful way that we can help create what I call heaven on earth here for everyone.
Marlies, thank you so much. You said some very powerful things there that I jotted down here as you were talking and really, really caused me to think and have impacted me. So appreciate that and always appreciate your comments, Marlies. Yeah, appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Paul?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
Paul, this is Anita Young.
Hi, Anita.
Hi. I would like to tell a story, and it has to do with how I felt. It was a fear that I had when I was 19 years old, I came home and found my first husband dead in my house from a freakish accident. I moved into my parents' home, but I kept feeling that the house was just going to kill me somehow or swallow me up. And in 30 days' time at my parents' house, I lost 50 pounds. And I had nightmares constantly. Somehow I knew that I needed to move back into my home. If I didn't, then the nightmares would never stop. And so over time, I mastered the fear, the key word, fear. I felt the house was going to swallow me. Anyway, I mastered the fear, and then I felt free that I could move on with my life. And I honestly feel like if I hadn't have overcome that fear, I would not be as strong as I am today. Fear does a lot of things, you know, and if you don't master it, it'll master you. Back to you, Paul.
Anita, thank you for sharing that experience. Wow. It's a very powerful illustration of, what fear can do. And most of us don't have that dramatic of experiences to where we're really literally to the point where we're shaken and realize we have to do something about it. But that's exactly what fear is doing to the vast majority of people. We just don't know it. I mean, it's holding us back. It's keeping us in our tracks. It's preventing us from moving forward and taking action and living our lives to our fullest potential. So appreciate that, Anita. Thank you. And congratulations and well done.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Whether we call it fear or the devil, it's not what it's doing to us. It's what we do to ourselves. It exists. It's out there, but it's our responsibility to confront and overcome those fears, or like she said, it will master and take over your life. But when it does master and take over your life, knowingly or unknowingly, it's because you've accepted that and you've allowed it to. So everybody on this call should do on a daily basis confront whatever it is they fear, like picking up that phone or making that phone call. Every time you do that and overcome and master that fear, you're mastering your life. Back to you, Paul.
Great points, Melvin. Star 6, who's next?
Paul, Rick here. I wanted to get back on something you said earlier on, you know. You talked about the negative. Here's something that everyone need to really think about this. You cannot try to get rid of something without thinking about it. Okay? That's very important. If you're trying to get rid of something you might consider called negative, what happens? It comes right back to your face. It comes right back at you. So it's a constant. It's constantly coming back at you. It's very important that you grasp this, okay? You need to grasp this, everyone on this line, because it can slow down your progress. Because when you talk about trying to get rid of something that you don't like, go to the mirror. Look inside the mirror and try thinking of something that's negative versus something that's positive, and you can see each time on your emotion and your feeling, you will see a facial expression. And when you start doing that, you're going to have a mental picture about what it is. And that will help you with the mental image and bring back a feeling that when you're thinking about something negative, just how you look. Just exactly how you look versus when you're thinking of something positive, you're not able to smile. And smiling comes from within, a feeling from the inside. That energy, that receiving station. And in fact, you have to almost consider becoming like, think about the radio and the transmission and the receiving station, like even like your box. Electronically, these boxes that are sitting in your homes that are receiving these things, and if you don't have the right box, you can't pick up a certain channel. This is exactly how this thing works. If everything just keeps coming right back around to you, it's like it's so profound. You don't need to look outside anywhere but yourself to realize this, because it's happening to you all day long. whether you recognize it or not, start recognizing it. There's a lot of mistruths out there about what you don't know can't hurt you. That's one of the biggest misconceptions there is in the world. It's so crazy that it's a fallacy. And that's planted in people's mind every day. There's another one. Like people, we know on this call that like attracts like, but we hear all through life people saying opposite attract. We're on this call because we're like-minded. But we hear it all the time, opposite attract. Opposite attract. It's in your mind. Get rid of it. Because we know it on this call. You see, try the mirror technique. It's incredible. I'm telling you, it's helped me, and it's helped a lot of people who I believe got things that I want. That's why I follow what they say. It's very profound. You look around what I just said, there's a light bulb should go on in your head that those are truth. Those are a misconception, a fallacy that's been planted in your head. And you cannot get rid of it unless you are constantly shooting it down and looking towards a positive, not even thinking about the negative. Remember that image in your face. Because whenever you are having a conversation with somebody else, that is a reflection of you coming right back at you. Remember that. Own every one of it. And decide that you're going to get better. Decide you're going to get better. Don't put it on anybody else. Put it on yourself. And said, I can get better. I can alter my behavior to suit the outcome I want. And that's the key factor. Right back to you.
Love it, Rick. You reminded me, I was listening to Doc Fran on a webinar last night, and he made the statement that wherever you are in your life, if you're happy and contented and have all the money that you want, or on the flip side, if you're unhappy, your relationships are poor, you don't have the money that you want or need, congratulate yourself because you are the one who created every single aspect of your life, whether you like it or not. And I listened to that and I was like, wow, how true that really is. I mean, we truly are the creators of our own lives, and it mixes in with what we're talking about here today with the subconscious mind and what you're talking about, Rick. What we send out comes back to us. I believe that's very true. Star 6, anyone else want to jump out here? We've got a few minutes left. Maybe someone who hasn't spoken today. Yes.
Rick, Mike Nelson. Something else I got from the call last night, the team call, was, and I can't remember who said it, unfortunately, but he had talked about how to turn a negative into a positive, is if you know that you have to make 100 calls to get a yes. He said every time you hear a no, you think, all right, I'm getting closer to a yes. I thought that was brilliant last night, whoever said that. But and it's turning that negative into a positive. And the other thing I think, too, is great men, if they hear, great men have heard no. Okay? If they let that negative influence them, they won't be great men.
So, very true. Very true.
Something to think about.
And it was Johnny Cass, I believe, who said that.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Yep.
That was great. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Star 6, anyone else here? We got just a couple of minutes left. We'd love to hear from you if you've got something to say.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's Doc Fran.
Hey, good morning. I was waiting for you to jump out here.
I've been listening intently for the whole call and just loving everything and everyone's cognitions and connections and understandings. And so I just really didn't feel compelled to say anything this morning. It was very pleasant to just be a receiver of the information. But thank you for the kind acknowledgments of last night's trainings.
Well, thank you. Any other comments?
Paul.
Yes.
Paul, this is Jane in Melbourne.
Hi, Jane.
I missed last night's call, but I often think of it on a daily thing. Is, you know, you are where you are because you thought yourself to where you are. Okay, you made the decisions and whatnot. Just a couple of years ago, I was in a lot worse place. I had less money. I still don't have the money I want. I don't have the relation. You know, all those things. But I'm in a lot better position. I'm not where I want to be yet, but I'm a lot better because I know and I believe and I think my way into being in the better position. Okay, even though I'm not where I want to be, I'm still better off than where I was, is what I'm saying, because of my beliefs and what I've done to get here.
Jane, very powerful. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh, this is Ernie.
Hey, Ernie.
Just real quick, I've been listening on the call, and fortunately enough, I'm able to have my two wonderful daughters with me this morning, and I've had it on over there, playing over the speakers in the car, and I just want to thank everyone for their input today. It's been really music to my ears, and I'm going to have to go back and listen to the call again to take it all in, and I just want to thank everyone. I want to challenge everyone to go forth today and do the best they can, and I want to hear some success stories tomorrow on the call. I look forward to it. I can't wait to hear from each and every one of you tomorrow.
Awesome, Ernie. Thank you so much, and I echo your sentiment. Thanks to everyone on the call today who's contributed. Thanks to everyone who's plugged in and listened and absorbed, and hopefully you've had some aha moments like I have for sure on the call today. And let's follow Ernie's counsel. Let's get out there and make today the best day of our lives. Let's have faith. Let's take action. Let's move forward with persistence. Let us understand the power of the subconscious mind and be persistent and take Napoleon's counsel here where he said, you have not yet had time to master faith. Be patient. Be persistent. And I had to smile when I read that line today as I realized that here I've been studying this book diligently for 2 years. And I had to give myself a little mental pat on the back, as well as many of you who have been committed to this call, give yourselves a pat on the back because you're being patient, you're being persistent, and you absolutely will be rewarded if you continue to persist. So let's get out there, take action, make it a great day, folks, and we'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call.
Amen. Love you guys.